when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Hello, everybody. It is Prepping 2.0. We are so happy to be here. I am Glenn Tate, and with me, as always, is the lovely
Shelby Gallagher. Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. Hey, this is episode 4, folks, and we're going to talk about a couple topics, the medically fragile and prepper fit. More on that in a moment. Before we get into it, I wanted to tell you guys about something cool, and that's the Patreon supporters. Patreon is kind of like Kickstarter, except they're not a bunch of communists. Patreon is a way to pledge a monthly amount that helps us out. Now, here's the thing. We do this for fun. We have an absolute blast doing this. You know, yesterday we were driving around on this beautiful drive, mountains, ocean, talking about this episode. We love doing this show, but it costs a lot of money. You might notice some rather good radio production here, and that's what costs us money. So here's the deal with Patreon. There's a $2 a month pledge you can make, and it's patreon.com/prepping2-0. And for $2 a month, you're going to get the after show, you're going to get access to that. We're going to have exclusive segments, the second half of guest interviews. The first half will always be on the free show. What you're listening to now is free show. Shelby, will it always be free?
Yes, it will always be free.
It'll always be free. The after show and some of the other stuff I'm going to mention later will be for Patreon supporters. So the $2 basic level, you also, on the after show, are going to have some special guests that won't be on the regular show, mostly book characters. By the way, I've been texting with a certain Special Forces Ted who wants to come on the book and talk about how to do Green Beret stuff and guerrilla stuff. So that's the $2 level. The $5 level is the awesome level. You get all the other stuff from the basic thing. And then for the after show, you can email us suggested topics and guests and shout outs, announcements of events. We're going to play a fun game we like to call Do They Live or Die? And that's where you guys send a picture of somebody.
We actually do play this game, by the way.
We do play this game driving around. And here's what the game is. We will look at somebody as we're driving by them on the highway, and instantly, first impressions, stereotypes encouraged. Will that person live or die in the collapse? And why? And Shelby and I have the most hilarious,
amazing...
We have amazing...
almost created our own collapse driving off the road laughing so hard. Seriously. Because we have too much fun at that game.
So you guys can send in a picture of somebody, and then we'll put that up on the YouTubes.
We should... You know what? I'm going to interrupt you. Just so you know, we also have a third guest here. Our dog.
What? Yes.
And I'll talk about her in a little bit. But just so you know, you might hear some... You know, panting and some clawing and some,
and
I don't know.
It's not Shelby.
No, it's not me.
Not Shelby.
So our lovely
Shelby.
Little pooch is here with us today as well.
That's right. On the $5 level, we're going to have some drawings for prizes, and you get 5 entries. The $5 awesome level, you're eligible to rent the real cabin. For real.
Dun, dun, dun.
The real cabin is going to be rented. We've remodeled it, and we've got, it's just cool. So if you've ever wanted to stay at the real cabin, you could do that. And first access to some merchandise. The $10 level is the more awesome level.
And it's all of the previous levels.
All
and
of the
then...
stuff plus drawings for prizes. You get 10 entries instead of 5. You get access to exclusive merch. We've got ideas for this. By the way, we haven't done a lot of this stuff. I don't want to have people saying, where's my exclusive merch? We haven't done it yet. This is the plan. So it's the plan. Access to a private meetup site that we hope to put together where you can find mutual assistance groups in your areas and, dare I say, dating? Yes, prepper dating. So it'll be like 10 guys and 1 woman, but that's okay. Oh, I mean, God. You just got to play the cards you're dealt.
Ladies, it's good for you.
And that's right. And then on the more awesome level, which is $10 a month, every year at the end of the year, we're going to give you a thumb drive with all the year's shows archived, which I think is going to be pretty cool. You can listen to it anywhere. The next level is $20 or more a month, and that's the supremely awesome level. So you can tell I'm kind of a West Coast guy with the way I do this. And you get all the previous stuff, and you get an exclusive merch package. We're going to have a signed 299 Days Book 1, a signed A Great State Book 1, Hoorag, drawings for prizes that we're going to come up with later. You get 20 entries of that. And then the Supremely Awesome level, we're going to let you know when we're in your area, when we're going to an expo, or we're going on vacation, we're hanging out, we're visiting people. And then we're going to let you guys know that we're in your area, and we're going to say, let's go hang out. So there you go. That's a quick overview of Patreon. And if you go on the site, patreon.com/prepping2-0, you will find us, and all the details are there. Shelby, tell the folks what we're going to talk about today.
We are going to talk about, and we've done this now a couple times, two topics, they're very related, yet they're very separate. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the medically fragile during a collapse and how to prep for it. That may not seem like a big deal, but the more you talk about it, the more it actually becomes important. The other thing we're going to talk about is prepper fit. And how to stay fit for a collapse. Now, before I go into that, I have to tell you, we have a dog.
Yeah.
Her name is Maddie. She's about a year old. She's an Australian cattle dog. And I think it's really interesting. You and I just got done working out.
Yes.
Before we came here.
Ironic,
for this.
Yes.
And she was on a run with us, or with me, I should say. So she's here, and she's still a puppy, and she's still annoying, but she's cuter than a button. And she has her own Facebook page. So if you want to look up Maddie Tate-Gallagher, you will see all of her cuteness and slight destructive, you know, path of destructions that she creates on a daily basis. So that being said, how this all started, let's start with medically fragile. This all started because you and I have
a mutual friend,
and he's a dear friend, and he is a quadriplegic. He had a tragic accident, gosh, when he was a teenager, and he is paralyzed from about the mid chest down. And you had an interesting exchange with him and a conversation with him, so I'm going to let you kind of tell those details, because this is where it's just amazing.
Yeah, and so this guy, and we'll call him James, he is in a wheelchair, obviously. He can't move, and he has to have electricity to move his chair around, and he has to be able to call people because he can't help himself. He's not on any machines like dialysis or like a breathing machine, but I had a conversation with him without electricity or without someone to tend to him. If he couldn't call them, he would live about 36 hours. Very solemn about this.
He didn't have any sort of emotions. Like, no, I'd live about 36 hours. And I'm going to jump in here on that. I find that very sobering, I guess is the best word. And I think part of it is because James, in the course of his life, has faced death a few times. He's had enough emergency situations with his health in general. It's fragile that he's more in tune with his mortality than I would say the average person. So for him to say that, he means it very frankly, and he's probably quite ready, more than some of us mentally, for that.
We don't get into religion here unless it's necessary, but he, James, is a devout Christian and is okay with dying. So there you have it. Sorry, I'm not trying to go on religion. But, and by the way, it's not just that he can't move because of the paralysis. He has situations, he has basically a permanent urinary tract infection, a bladder infection more precisely, that on occasion builds up and can break free, and you know, he could die basically of septic infection. Yeah. And so it constantly needs to be monitored. So there was a big windstorm in the Olympia area, and everyone was talking about how the power was going to go out for 2 days. And James said to me, oh, geez, you know, I need a way to charge my phone. He has like a regular way to charge his phone. But if there's no electricity, right, there's nothing to charge the phone. And I couldn't believe it. I'm a little disappointed about the people in the room at the time, because nobody said, how can we help? And I said, do you have one of those pocket juice things? You plug it into the wall, it charges up a little battery, and then it'll charge up your phone. He said, no. I said, okay. I went out and I bought him one. It was like $20. And don't think I'm Mr. Charity or anything. It was really no big deal. But see, I was the only guy in that room who had the prepping mindset. And so he needed that. So he's done if you know,
if there's a major collapse,
he's electricity dependent, and he's dependent on a whole variety of prescription medications, like the one that keeps his constant bladder infection in check. And so he very clearly is going to die quickly when the collapse happens. We don't swear on this show, but I am going to use the acronym SHTF. I think that's a non-vulgar way of saying that. So he's at one end of all of this. And we're going to talk about some of the other stuff. So Shelby, what is sort of the prepping 1.0? And for those of you who are new listeners, and there are probably thousands of new listeners every show, tens of thousands, perhaps?
Yes, let's say tens of thousands.
I think that's a great assessment, right?
That's
right. What do we mean by prepping 1.0, and what do we mean by prepping 2.0?
Well, there's a spectrum there, so I always hope I hit what you're meaning there, because we aren't quite, we haven't been married that long, so.
We don't finish each other's sentences.
We're close, but not quite there. So prepping 1.0 is that whole, I don't have, during a collapse, you're going to run out of your medications or whatever, so you need to prep for them. But take that one step further than that. What happens, not just when you and I don't have our medications.
So this is prepping 2.0 you're talking about. Now
I'm talking about that. What happens when everyone else around us doesn't have their, and how to prepare for that, and the reactions that they're going to have, and the inevitable that will happen with that. So take it a step further. That's kind of probably the basis for prepping 2.0. Take what you already know, and now take it to its logical conclusion.
Extrapolate, I believe, is the word.
Extrapolate. See, is that a legal word?
Nope.
Okay, interesting. So I think we as a country can all agree that there is a lot of people who are prescription dependent. And then we're not just talking about, you know, I don't know, heart medication or whatever. We'll get into that later. We're talking about people who, to keep their mental health healthy.
That's the big one.
That's the big one. The ones that keep the schizophrenia from going crazy, the ones that keep, you know, the lithium, those, you know, the bipolars, and those people who can just really have a loose grasp of reality, they're dependent on their medication. When that is no longer available to them, what will happen? So they are going to lose their minds. They are going to be, you know, law enforcement is going to be at its wit's end in terms of just keeping law and order. And there's going to be violence. There's going to be scary people that you would normally not think would act, as they are acting in front of you like you would. They're coming at you. They're being violent. They're being vulgar. They're being whatever. And you know, 24 hours ago they were sitting at your table eating dinner.
I would like to give you a statistic that I could not believe was true, and I checked it twice, and it is true. Approximately 1 out of 5 Americans are on an antidepressant, some sort of mental medication. And obviously, minor depression, I'm going to guess that the 1 in 5 figure encompasses relatively minor stuff. Obviously, 1 out of 5 Americans are not schizophrenic, and the moment they don't have their medication, they're out stabbing people. By the way, we don't have to exaggerate stuff on this podcast.
No, just read your headlines.
Right, because the truth is already persuasive for us. So, yes, there are going to be the people that are on very serious, you know, schizophrenia kind of medications, bipolar medications, and they're going to go bananas. We'll talk about what that means to you in a moment. But understand that 1 out of 5 people, perhaps you listening to this, you will not have antidepressants after maybe like 30 days or something. By the way, like the scene in my book where Pow goes into the pharmacy, there's going to be no pharmaceuticals. They're not going to get transported. They're going to get hoarded. They're going to get stolen. There will be no pharmaceuticals. So don't think, well, maybe I could get some. Nope. Anyway, so you're going to have people everybody is going to be under stress in this situation, the collapse. People are going to be tired. They're going to be hungry. They're going to be angry. And most of all, they're going to be scared. Oh, let's throw sleep deprivation in there. This is going to be like the worst days of your life. And if you were one of those 1 out of 5, or somebody around you is one of those 1 out of 5, and guess what? Odds are that's true. These people are going to be extremely upset. They're going to do weird, crazy things. They're going to be that monstrous side of them that Shelby was talking about that you never knew. And so understand that a good chunk of people around you are going to be completely intolerable. And I'm not trying to be cruel here. I'm not saying, oh, you know, shoot them in the head, of course, don't do stuff like that. But just understand when you're going into this, that guy, let's just use this example, that guy on your team who seems pretty squared away may not be when he doesn't have Zoloft. That's what we're getting at. So that's the prepping 2.0 part. It's more than just, oh, gee, I know that, for example, the quadriplegics are going to die. And there are all kinds of stories. Most preppers out there, 1.0ers, I think, is that a word? It is now.
1.0ers?
Point. One-pointers.
I can't even say it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Know that there won't be meds, but we're taking you to that next level of understanding that a whole lot of people are going to look at you funny and pull out a knife and charge you, and you need to be ready for that kind of stuff.
Well, and I'm going to jump in here, too. This happens, and I think it's indicative of not being prepared for a collapse situation. Just recently, as many people know, I follow the news coming out of Portland, Oregon, because it's a great
petri dish of
what a collapse could look like, and I say it all the time. Just recently, there in the news was a man is walking in downtown Portland, and within about a short amount of time, say within an hour, he has killed a 50-year-old man. He just walks up to them and just puts a 45 caliber firearm to him and kills him. Holds up a convenience store, brandishes the same firearm, and then he goes and walks up to a 70-year-old woman and puts a bullet in her with his same and kills her right there. And you'd be like, that's crazy.
That's the point.
He is that person right there. I'm still watching the news on this. He is a problem criminal, in and out of jail all the time. That's what happens when you see these people going in and out. They're going into jail, getting their meds taken care of, and then they're coming out of jail and they don't have access to their meds, and they're riding that roller coaster of on and off their meds. And the problem is that when they're off their meds, they are very, very, very unstable and can do horrifying things. And what the story I just told is horrifying, but it plays out all the time. You hear these headlines all the time. Similar story happened. I'm not going to tell the details because I don't want people to figure out where we live. Similar story where we live last summer. Man just goes off on somebody in public and comes really close to killing him. So
stabbed him. Just came up with a knife and then said, now that I'm going to go to jail.
Can I have my meds, please?
It was like a way of getting meds.
He almost killed a man just to get his So this is what a collapse looks like. So when I say that, this is what we're talking about. So this is the sort of thing, but it will be much more pervasive because it's not going to be just in a city or in one community. It's going to be even worse than it is now. So.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to be leading? Who's going to be the cult leader, the gang leader of these hordes of crazed people? People like this. Maybe it's not the leader of the horde who's all off meds. Maybe some enterprising cult leaders out there, and if you're listening, please take notes. maybe you start recruiting people who are off their meds, and it's just an army of crazed people, and you say, hey, why don't you just go attack that person, and they just go do it. I mean, so this, and this is another example. We talked on episode 2 a while ago about normalcy bias. Don't fall into normalcy bias. The people around you seem really normal, and they probably are. And after a week of no semi-trucks bringing, you know...
Kale.
Yeah, no prescriptions to pharmacies, we could all live without kale.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. There are going to be people around you that are just whacked out. So I would like to give some examples from the 299 Days books about what we're talking about. And if you've read the books, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read the books, candidly, you ought to. Let's just be honest.
We are pro reading our books.
I figured out a way to write all those reviews on Amazon myself. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's 500 reviews, and a half stars.
You have a very rich...
People like the story. So there's an example of a woman who has an extremely rare medical condition, and an extremely rare prescription is required for her to breathe. And she slowly dies, and it describes that. I'm not going to give you all the details. It's heartbreaking. There's that. And then there's an example of a person who's okie dokie on meds, mental health meds, and goes nuts. And so I think we've kind of already covered those. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're in the book. Well,
But then let's also add to this too. Then there's those that are not the crazy people, medically, or I'm sorry, prescription dependent, and also not the James type that need. Then there's the, and this is the example I thought of that came out of the Florida hurricanes that just happened, where you had that section of northern Florida that was without communications and inaccessible for a couple of weeks, I believe it was. And it was very difficult to get into it because of all the damage. Roads were blocked, all of that, and comms were down. So you hear out of that, I heard the heart-wrenching stories. This man could not reach, then this is the example I'm going to give, could not reach his mother, who is dependent on diabetic medication, no electricity, and she's about to run out. He knows she's going to run out of her medication. And he can't reach her, and he can't get to her. So when you think about that, it's that whole... the medically fragile, those people that are dependent on the technologies that we have now, and those technologies are going to be gone after a collapse. And we were asked the question in a recent interview, how do you prep for medication when you're limited in how much your doctor will prescribe to you?
Right. Typical prescription, 30 days.
Yep.
Maybe it's 30 days of insulin and it needs to be refrigerated. Those kinds of situations. And what answer did we give, Shelby?
We don't know.
We don't know.
If somebody does know, please let us know. But I think that's a candid discussion with your doctor. That's where I would start myself. But it's an interesting dilemma, and it's something we need to think about and figure out a way to prep for. I don't know.
Because, and I'm no lawyer. Just kidding, I am. It's against the law. It's against the law for your doctor to write you a one-year prescription for insulin, for example. It just is. And by the way, doctors aren't going to do that. And if you find somebody on the internet who says, I'll get you a year of insulin, it's probably a scam. And instead of insulin, it's probably like saline solution or something. So, I mean, there's no way to have these medicines that we know of. You might be able to squirrel some away, but I don't think that works, because to do that, you're taking less than the dose that's been prescribed to you. And we will never, ever, ever tell people to not take their medicines.
Mess with their meds. Don't do that.
Do what your doctor tells you to do, even if you don't want to. And here's the thing, and we do not take any joy in saying this. We were talking about the medically fragile and the technology that Shelby was talking about. We have the luxury in this country of keeping people alive who would not live even a few decades ago. James is an example. That bladder infection that he can fight back with this really rare, expensive prescription drug, he would have been dead quite a while ago. I'm glad people are alive. We believe in life. Shelby and I feel very strongly about this. We talk about death, but it's so that we can live.
Right.
Right? And so that's just a reality. That's another normalcy bias thing, is that all these people that have all these really, really fragile medical conditions, well, of course, grandma at age 90, you know, is with us. Nuh-uh. Not a generation ago she wasn't. And so don't get caught up in normalcy bias. And here's the sad truth. A lot of medically fragile people, if they are that medically fragile, I'm going to say all of them, will die in the short term. And I'm sorry, but you have to get your head around that now in peacetime, so that you're not freaking out when your 90-year-old grandmother, who's on 17 medications, and by the way, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but actually not. There are quite a few 90-year-olds who are on over a dozen medications.
And well, and then the ones that you hear in the news, you know, the 100-year-old somebody from World War II, and that's what makes
World War II.
They're 100 years old, and they've lived this hardy. It's because it is unusual. That's why it's a headline. For someone to live that long and have their wits about them and to be in pretty decent health before they go see the Lord, I mean, that is newsworthy. It's highly unusual. So, yeah.
And so here's one of the rare things you're ever going to hear us say when it comes to medically fragile. We don't know of a way to prep for it.
Yep.
And we've got plans for just about everything that may or may not work, by the way, but at least they're plans. Just deal with the fact that that's probably going to be the case. And then, Shelby, I think on that sort of somber news, it might be time to take a break and come back to our next related topic, which is prepper fit. And that means more than you think it does. So please stay with us. We're going to come back and tell you how to not have a lot of the problems we just mentioned.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Prepper Press is a small, independent publisher of survival nonfiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. At PrepperPress.com, you'll find a variety of books to guide you on your journey to prepare for a compromise to the electrical grid, natural disasters, economic collapse, political strife, or similar scenarios that could disrupt life as we know it. You'll also discover fictional yet believable stories about what happens to society when everything falls apart. To learn more, visit Prepper Press online at PrepperPress.com.
Do you need a custom Kydex holster or magazine holder? Glenn Tate's favorite custom holster and mag holder maker is Northwest Retention Systems. You can select your holster or mag holder color, including the I Miss America logo, and Northwest Retention Systems will custom make yours. While you're at it, look into the Scout Chest Rig Holster. Glenn loves his for vehicle operations and for fishing. Made by a young craftsman supporting a growing family of young patriots, Northwest Retention Systems products are 100% American-made with no foreign parts. Find out more online at northwestretentionsystems.com. Hey everyone, are you a prepper who knows you need to have handheld radios for when you know what hits the fan, but you don't know anything about them? You don't want to learn complicated geek stuff or learn Morse code or all of that other useless information on a ham radio license test? You don't need another hobby and you don't need to buy things that you ultimately won't use. You just need to know how to use radios and which ones to get. Well, Ham Radio is for you. It's not Ham Radio, it's PAM Radio. Prepper Amateur Radio. PAM. It's all the things preppers need to know to communicate on radios, but none of the stuff you don't need to know. PAM Radio is a series of easy flashcards for your phone or laptop that teach you what kind of radios to buy and how far you can talk on them, with or without a ham radio license in some cases. It's not a prep course for your ham radio tests. It's the practical stuff you need to know. Written by Glenn Tate, with input from members of the Special Operations Community, ham radio experts, and ham radio novices like you. These electronic flashcards will bring you up to speed so you can check radios off of your list of preps you need to take care of. PAM Radio is conveniently releasing in January 2019, so you can fulfill that ongoing New Year's resolution about getting up to speed on radios. And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Shelby Gallagher, joined by my co-host and partner in life, Glenn Tate. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Shelby.
So we are going to continue our discussion, and they're related, and I'm hoping we can kind of bring these together. We just finished talking about what medically fragile, and that covers a whole lot of descriptors there, will be like in a collapse. We want to talk about prepper fit. And first of all, big hat tip to John Jeffers over at Contra Radio, who gave us that term, prepper fit. What that means is being physically fit and being prepped for it. So go ahead.
One of the key things that he brings up, and I'm so glad he did, is he said, and he's, you know, I don't know what he is. I think he said he's in his 50s or something. He said, listen, this isn't about being a bodybuilder.
Nope.
This is about being fit enough to do the stuff you're going to need in a collapse and nothing more. Much like the PAM radio is all about the radio stuff you need to know to do prepper stuff, but not everything in the universe, just what you really need. Prepper fit is being fit enough to do the stuff you need in a collapse. And thank you, John,
yeah,
for that term. And by the way, he's living this right now. I've been listening to him, and he is doing it. He's losing weight, and he's doing all kinds of cool stuff. And so we're talking practical prepper fit.
Yep. So, and we've had a even before we knew John Jeffers, you and I had the discussion about this. And first of all, we're going to get into this a little bit. Glenn and I have been there. We have both had our journey.
Very heavy, very out of shape.
Both of us have. And I'm not just talking 5 pounds here and there. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But we're really kind of hit, you and I, close to home was a little over a year ago. Was it summer of 2017? We had the great idea to do new runs of the I Miss America t-shirts. That's kind of our fun little merchandise line that we're working on growing here. And we, you know, you have to decide kind of your size runs, how many of each size as you want to do. And And I just kind of, you know, talked to the t-shirt guy. I'm like, what do you think? And he says, yeah, the larger sizes, you're going to need those. And I'm like, well, we'll I don't think so. This is a prepping community. To our surprise, there was an amazing amount of people that asked us for really large sizes. 3XLs and 4XLs. And they're actually kind of, we're not going to name names or anything, they're pretty vocal. They go on social media to our posts and things like that. Hey, when are you going to get a 4XL? And you and I had some pretty heart-to-heart conversation about we're not going to do that. And not because we don't love you, it's because we love you. If you're a 4XL, you are not prepper fit. And my caveat to that is, if you are like, no, I'm a 4XL and I am fit, if you show me your BMI, your body mass index number, which falls into normal, and you are a 4XL, I will get you a 4XL shirt.
Because you're so much of a bodybuilder that you have like a 60-inch circumference on your chest.
Or your shoulders or something like that.
Probably doesn't exist out there. Tell everybody about the guy.
Yes.
This is great. This is why we are not enabling people with 4XLs. Tell this story.
So this gentleman, he lives on the coast, the Oregon coast, and he had ordered a 2XL. And he sent me a message going, gosh, it's a little tight. You don't have 3XLs. And I said, no, we don't. And that's our break line right there. We are not going to go any higher than 2XLs. We're not. We're just not. And he said, that's okay, because I've lost a lot of weight already. I need to lose a little bit more. That is my goal, is to fit in this into the 2XL t-shirt and maybe even go lower than that. So I'm like, that is the spirit we're looking for. If you, wherever you are, if he's listening, I'm sure he'll let me know if he's made it. I'm sure he has, actually.
And by the way, if you're listening out there and you've made it into an XL, let us know. And we're going to send you a free XL t-shirt, and we're going to say high five, because that is awesome.
Yeah.
I used to be a 3XL. I then thought I was doing great being a 2XL. Now when I wear XLs, I swim in them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much a large, and you know, Shelby was right. We've been there. I saw a picture of Shelby from 5-6 years ago.
No, it was actually from 2010, so it's okay. Been a while. Yeah.
And I'm not even kidding, I couldn't recognize her. I didn't say out loud, because she was like, hey, look at this picture. And I thought, oh, geez, this is a good time not to talk. This is why the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination exists for exactly this. I said, okay. And she said, it's me. And I said, no way. And I'm telling you, sincerely, I could not believe it was her. And here's one of the things.
It's because the reason why is because it was a picture of me 90 pounds heavier than I am now.
Yeah.
So when you see pictures of me.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And here's the thing, everybody. This is one of the reasons that we are not judging anybody. And I hope I don't sound like a
shaming
millennial. By the way, if I disagree with you, you might call it judging. I don't even care what you think. But we are truly...
We've been there.
We are open-minded and sympathetic to this, because modern American culture, living in the suburbs, classic example, it is so easy to eat too much. Food is everywhere. It's relatively
bad
inexpensive.
Bad food is everywhere.
Bad food is everywhere. And American culture revolves around eating too much. This is coming from two people who used to eat way too much, by the way.
And we like to eat, not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah. Bacon is delicious. So there's food everywhere. And so many American things revolve around. For example, let's start with Halloween. Everybody gets giant bags of candy. Do I love
starting
candy?
On Labor Day.
Starting on Labor Day when it goes on sale, right? And so you eat, you know, Halloween. And then, of course, there's Thanksgiving. And I do like turkey. And then there's Christmas, and then there's New Year's, and then there's this huge American feast, the Feast of St. Lombardi, otherwise known as the Super Bowl. And so people in this country eat from kind of October to like early February, and get pretty fat. Because why? Because we don't work on farms anymore.
Nope.
We don't walk
everywhere anymore.
Right. I mean, there's cars, and a lot of us have sedentary jobs where we just sit and we use our brains, and that's great on one level, but it's sort of hard. I'm getting into like enabling excuses here. It's sort of hard to go and work out. I get that. Listen, if you have little kids, I'm going to say all the way up to like, if you have kids in the house, because even high schoolers are high maintenance, you know, you got to drive them around and do all this stuff and sports and stuff like that. If you have kids, I think it's the exception to the rule that you can get out and work out. Now, if you're living on that awesome homestead in Idaho, you don't have this problem, but like 0.01% of people in this country, you know, have that kind of life. So I guess it can be done. So we understand that. I'm going to say this, the default, the normal rule for American society is to eat too much and not exercise enough. And it's just the way it is because we have the luxury of doing it.
So, and so where this ties in though, you heard us talk about in the previous segment about becoming prescription dependent and that sort of a thing. I had, I will say this, let me jump back here. 2010 is where I was like, for the 50 millionth time, I'm gonna lose this weight. I'm so frustrated. I hate all this. And I was feeling the hard symptoms. Like I would take my dog for a walk and I couldn't get more than two blocks away from my house. And then my shins are burning and my knees hurt. That's my body saying, this is too much weight to carry.
And you were not an old person in 2010.
No.
You're not now, by the way, dear.
No, I'm not. And so I am not, doggone it.
That's what I said.
So it's one of those things where it's like my body is telling me. It was a two-year process. It was not easy. And I'll tell you a couple little hints on how I did it. I'm not saying it's for everyone. But after that, I had one of my medical checkups. And my doctor, it was really encouraging in the sense of she's like, the normal for the, and I actually had a recent discussion very similar. Basically, you hit about your 40s, and that's where all those tests, the mammograms, the colonoscopies, all the tests are, because you're starting to hit an age. And generally speaking, that's when doctors are like, okay, based upon this person standing in front of me and how much they are, honestly, with their weight, will now dictate their quality of life. Going forward, if you are extremely overweight, you're going to be starting to look at, and this was the discussion I had with my doctor in about 2013. If you are overweight, you're now going to be pre-diabetic. You are now going to start having high blood pressure. You're going to start now having these things that are indicative of one, getting older, and two, being overweight. And then it becomes a, how do we manage that?
How do we manage it?
How do you and I manage it? Well, it's
No. I mean, how do most Americans manage
it? Most Americans will do the blood, will do the medications.
Yep. All those things we were talking about earlier, about all those prescriptions that people are dependent on,
they kind of
did it to themselves in many cases. But keep going.
And the American diet, and all, you blame it on whatever you want. But that's why these two topics kind of mend into each other so well. If you are at that age where you're like, you know what, if I had lost that 20 pounds that my doctor tells me to, I might hopefully be able to get rid of some of these medications. Time and time again, you hear the story of the person who lost the weight. Their numbers start to show better, and they're able to get off those medications. It happens all the time. And eating better. Yeah, and you're a good example of that.
I'm a good example of this. Give you a little bit of medical information about me that I've never shared before publicly. But when I was in the Docker years, and those of you who've read 299 Days, you know what I'm talking about. You know, wearing Dockers and sitting on the couch and you know, I don't know, a plate of nachos whenever I felt like it seemed like a good idea, right? My blood sugar was off the charts. I won't even tell you what it is because nobody will believe you. I was probably going to die real soon.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound weird, but the day I went to the doctor, a couple hours later, I had to go to a Walmart to like pick something up or something. And they were, you know, of course, being Walmart, there were stacks and stacks of candy and everything else. And I looked at the candy and I said to myself, that's rat poison. And I said, I know it's not really rat poison, but I'm going to believe that it's rat poison. And I slowly but rather firmly cut sugar, refined sugar, out of my diet, started working out, more on that in a moment, and now, fast forward, My blood sugar is actually below normal. It's like perfectly fine. I mean,
you're within the realm of normal and will not have to be dependent on those medications.
Exactly. I will not be dependent on those medications. So I mentioned exercise. And one of the points that, and Shelby can talk about this too, because she has a similar thing, slow progress. I started off, I went to the YMCA. I guess they have those throughout the country. Yeah. Sometimes we try not to make regional references, like to regional grocery stores or whatever. But anyway, YMCA. And I could only do, I've lost and kept off 60 pounds, by the way. I could only, since 2009, I could only do 3 minutes on the elliptical machine one day a week. And I thought I was going to die. Well, started doing 5, started doing 10, started doing 10 twice a week. And we're talking over a number of years, and I slowly kept ramping up. And what I did was, when it wasn't hard, I would up it a little bit.
Yeah.
And no magic formulas. Go on the internet. There's like a million apps to like figure out how to like train for a marathon very, very slowly, you know, walk and run and do all these things. There's tons of resources out there. My point is that it was a slow process, and it took planning, and it took a greater goal, being healthy and working hard to achieve it. Do you know what that is when you plan and you're patient and you have a greater goal and you work hard for it? That's prepping. Yeah. That's the prepper mindset. And what you need to do, because Shelby and I have done it, so we've done it, is apply your prepping mindset to becoming prepper fit. So why don't you tell about how you got in shape?
Because
it's a remarkable metamorphosis.
Yeah, it's first of all, patience. It is not going to happen. When you have an incredible amount of weight to lose, it is absolutely discouraging to think about when you see a big number on a chart. It's like, no, first of all, start with, and this is how I started, I just want to lose 20 pounds in the next couple months. If that is all I lose, awesome. And that is a successful thing. I basically lost it in 20 pound chunks throughout about a year plus. What happened was, it was the beginning of 2010, I believe. I have to think about this. Or end of 2010, beginning of 11. It was a New Year's resolution. And the first thing I did for the first years, all I did was cut calories. All I did was, I'm a numbers person. Just give me the numbers and I'll stick to it. And it's very difficult. I eat 1,200 calories a day. As a woman, that's, honestly, you feel like you might starve some days, you're not, but that is how I keep healthy. I also eat a multivitamin, take a multivitamin. So that is for the first year, that's how I got about 60 off. The second year, I was like, I want another, yay, 60 pounds. We got it. How can I continue this? And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna start this running thing. It was a kind of a big trendy thing at the time. It kind of still is, but especially in Oregon, track and there's a marathon every week somewhere, it seems like, in Oregon. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna start this running thing. Does that mean I went out and ran like 5 miles all at once? No, it means I started walking and then I ran from here to a mailbox, and then I felt like I was gonna die, and then I walked a little bit, and then I ran from the mailbox to the tree. And I have to tell you what's really funny. Maddie sees a picture of Ronald Reagan in this office that we're doing this, and she's kind of like having a moment with Ronald Reagan. Anyway,
Maddie, point to the good American president who saved
America. Look at the great patriot that saved
America. Maddie, point to the president who defeated communism. Oh, look, you pointed to Ronald Reagan. That's
shocking.
Our dog.
There you go. We have an amazing dog.
We have a prepper dog. We have a patriot dog. So, Maddie the prepper. Patriot
yes,
dog.
She is. Yes, awesome.
Sorry to take
She's
you
also
off your field
very destructive. But going back to, I didn't just start out to be this awesome runner. I started out choking and feeling like I'm dying and sitting on a curb and crying my eyes out and feeling like I couldn't do this. By the end of that year, I had run my first half marathon.
That's a big, and I've
run them regularly since then. So running is a great way to stay in shape. It's a great prepper fit sort of thing. I'm not saying everyone's going to do it, and do not tell me I can't do it. I have bad knees. I blah, blah, blah. Yes, you can. And I want to add to this too. During that time when I was losing the weight, I had a really, really amazing patriot loving, freedom loving, amazing friend who was extremely overweight. She and I did a lot of good conservative activism together, and she was almost to the point where she was immobile. It was very difficult for her to move. Stairs were an issue. She'd go up a set of stairs and have to stop and catch her breath and breathe hard. And she asked me during that time, help me just be accountable to all of this. And I said, well, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to lose weight? She goes, no, I need to eat better, and I just need you to keep me accountable. Well, what do you? And I'm like, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want me to talk to you about it? Do you want me to help you with the, you know, kind of clean out your cupboard? What do you want? And she said, I don't want you to bug me. I just want you to keep me accountable. I still don't know what she wanted me to do, and I didn't really do anything because I know what it's like to be sensitive. Don't bug me about the things I do for my food and all that, whether I'm eating bad or good. Just don't bug me. Well, sadly, she went to sleep one night about a year and a half ago and didn't wake up because she was all of those things we had talked about. She's overweight. She's not taking care of herself. Stress on her heart. All of those things. And in some ways, I feel a lot of guilt that I didn't ask her more clearly. What do you want me to do? Because I want you to stay here longer than you think. I don't know, but I feel a lot of guilt for that. But that's what happens. That can be what happens. And then in a collapse, she would have really struggled just to be able to walk a short distance, not even a long distance. So that's where we want to kind of carry this into, is what this does for you in a collapse. And from a tactical point of view.
You bet. And this is where we describe why it matters. And we can give you all the information in the world, but if it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. Why it matters is exactly what Shelby was talking about. If you can't move, you're going to have real problems. Let's just say a natural disaster, a wildfire.
Yeah.
You can't move. You will be burned to death because you can't move. An awful, awful thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's man-made calamities involved, and there usually are, whatever triggers a collapse or a calamity is just the beginning, and then it's always the looters and all of that and the power being out and all of that. You're going to be easy prey. It's going to be horrible. You're going to die a helpless, preventable, unnecessary death. Oh, by the way, those of you out there, and I hear this every once in a while, and it really annoys me. Some people, I think they're joking, some preppers will say, well, you know, I've got a spare fuel tank on me. You know, basically that their fat will sustain them through a collapse. You're kidding yourselves. That's a terrible idea. You need to be able to move. You need to be able to get out of danger. You need to be able to gunfight. You need to be able to chop wood. You need to be able to grow crops. You need to be able
to camouflage yourself.
You need to be able to, whatever it might be, carry cans of gasoline, 5-gallon gas cans, which weigh 40, 45 pounds. You might need to carry them 10 miles because that's what needs to be done. Maybe there are checkpoints. Maybe there's martial law and they're seizing gasoline and you go all the back ways and you're getting gas to your family. I mean, there's a million active, calorie-burning, fatiguing, physically demanding things in a collapse. And here's the other thing about that, and that is, once again, normalcy bias comes into this. I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity, and I say opportunity on purpose, to work a really full, hard day. I'm talking like farm labor kind of work. I'm not talking about, you know, computer programming for 14 hours. And that's okay if you do that. But when you get up early and cut wood and split wood and haul it into the back of a pickup and go stack it somewhere else, and you do that in the summer from dawn until dusk, you will realize what we're talking about. You almost have to experience it to fully appreciate it. The amount of work you will have to do when you can't just get on your computer and have the natural gas bill paid and just like heating and everything will just come that way. When you have to go and cut trees. The other thing is, tactically speaking, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't understand this until I went out and I did it. The team, we will train all day, sometimes 2 days in a row, and we get up early and we hit it hard because training time is golden. You know, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of resources to get that done, so we make the most of those days. Holding a rifle, even a light rifle.
Oh my gosh, like, I did this one day with you and I was ready to die.
You were sore, like even an AR-15, which is a light rifle. even with, I didn't even think you had kit on. You didn't even have 20, 30 pounds. You weren't carrying body armor. You weren't carrying plates. You weren't carrying water. Just standing there, okay, and for those of you who haven't done this before, trust me, if you've got kit, which is, you know, the webbing and the vest and everything, and you've got, let's say, body armor, and you've got a full loadout of ammunition, usually 7 magazines plus 2 pistol magazines, and a rifle, and hopefully a helmet, you're gonna realize that just standing there
and
is
that's
fatiguing.
What would you say, 40, 50, 60 pounds in there for all of that?
Probably, yeah. And
on your body.
On your body, and you're just standing up. You are constantly, it's like yoga, which I've never practiced. Actually, it's funny, I did yoga once, for real, with some special operations guys, and I was like, it's a long story.
I want a picture. It didn't happen if there's no pictures.
Those guys convinced me that yoga is a good thing, and I was like, why? And they said, just trust us. So I did it. We were at a gym together, and they were off duty and stuff. I'm not an operator. I don't do anything cool. I'm just a lawyer. And so you realize that just not even moving a lot, how fatigued you get. We did a team training thing where we carried guys in stokes and litters, and just a little bit. And by the way, you know, Powell's a pretty big dude. If you're one of the guys carrying him across the desert like I did, it's very fatiguing. So you absolutely have to be in some kind of shape to do these kinds of things. Another thing, and this, people will laugh maybe, but it's not funny. Take body armor and kit. You don't have 3XL sized plate carriers for your body armor.
No, they don't make them for the military. They do not make them.
Make
it's
them
shocking.
That big.
Why? Because of the same reason, the reasons we're saying.
And sometimes on social media, you guys will see me, you know, put up a picture of like the calorie counter on, say, an elliptical machine, and it says like 600 calories. And I say things like, hey, I'm in my early 50s. This is what it takes to fit in my body armor. I'm not kidding. It's what it takes to be able to wear body armor. Think about this, listeners. Let's say you're a little heavy out there. Listen to what I'm saying. If you are so heavy that you physically cannot fit in something designed to stop a bullet from killing you, you need to make a change. You need to have body armor. You can go online and buy the Tactical, most awesome body armor in the world. And if you can't fit into that plate carrier, you're not going to wear that stuff. And you may end up with a sucking chest wound because you were eating too much and you weren't working out. That's why it matters. By the way, this isn't just for gunfighters and trigger pullers.
Oh, it's for everybody.
This is for, and take Shelby. I mean, first of all, she's very tactically good, and she's going to be pulling some trigger and doing a lot of cool stuff. But let's, we're okay with stereotypes here because we're not feminists and we can say whatever we want. Let's say you are a woman in a collapse and you're married to a man who's out gunfighting. Ladies, much like you may not have ever done a full day of farm labor or a full day of gunfighting training, odds are you haven't done all the hard work that needs to be done when you, say, don't have electricity, maybe don't have running water, all these things. I mean, Little House on the Prairie, I think the wife worked just as hard, maybe harder than the man. I don't know. It's probably about equal. But ladies, you are not exempt from this either. And so, guys, you need to be physically fit to protect your family. And ladies, you need to be physically fit to take care of your family and do all the things that are going to be labor intensive.
Yeah.
What other thoughts do you have, Shelby?
Well, and I will say this. So I'm going to give, I've kind of given a few. Let's do this. And again, we come at this not with the shaming, body shaming, any of that. We're not into that at all. Mainly because we've been there. We've been on the other end of that. We know what it's like. It's awful. It is awful to feel out of shape and that sort of thing. I would say the two things that I did to lose the weight, multi-level there, but the first one, cut calories, cut the volume of what you're putting into your body down. Think of it as fuel in, fuel out, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in will do one of two things. You're either going to burn it or you're going to store it. So I have to keep it at 1,200 calories because I know I can burn that and I know it won't store for the most part, unless you do something stupid like eat a little too much on Thanksgiving. But I think you get special for one day, for one meal, not even one day. The other one is burn off what you're storing. Find a way, find something that you like to do and be active. I go back to John Jeffers. He goes on a hike every weekend or something like that. I've heard of people doing the run a mile a day. Running a mile is about 10 minutes, but it's a fuel burner. Do something to get your heart rate up and find the thing that you like. For you, you like doing elliptical. You've done those shredding sort of CrossFit sort of things. Define the thing you love and do it and carve it into your schedule. So cut down the fuel that you're putting in your body so that it doesn't store it, and burn it.
Here's a super easy way for people out there to get more exercise. And seriously, I just thought of this. Download our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Listen to our podcasts while you walk.
There you go.
How about that? They're 1 hour podcasts. Listen to these podcasts and walk for an hour. One of the things you have to do, but you're preppers, so you do stuff like this. You have to plan your day.
You do.
You have to make this a daily part of your life. I haven't worked out for approximately a week because it's been Thanksgiving and I've been doing a bunch of legal work and working super long hours to sue a bunch of government people that need to be sued. And it's killing me.
You're losing your mind.
I am losing my mind, but you have to make it part of your day and you can't expect it to be convenient. Normalcy bias, you're gonna hear me say that a million times. Americans living in the suburbs, living comfortable, expect things to be convenient. If it's not convenient, I'm not going to do it. Everything's convenient. It's not inconvenient to work out, but it isn't convenient. So you have to, and this is where the kid thing comes in, and it's tough. You have to say to your husband or wife, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to have an hour a day that I do this stuff. And by the way, men, you need to give it to them too.
You need to ask for it and give it to them. So there's going to be a little bit of a trade-off with your partner there. And we do that as well.
We just did that a couple hours ago. Yeah. I said, you need to go running or you want to go running. I encourage it. I will take care of an errand that needs to be done. And it was no big deal. So you have to make it part of your day. Well, Shelby.
Yes.
What are some benefits right here and now, today, before a collapse? I call it peacetime. Because it's peacetime. What are some benefits now in peacetime of being moderately fit, as we've been calling it, prepper fit, the term we stole from John Jeffers?
I'd say, honestly, you and I know this, we are going to sleep well tonight. We both had a very good workout. Right now, Maddie is asleep on the floor because she and I just went on a 6.5 mile run. So good sleep. Your body clock appreciates that you're burning this off. You will be able the ability to do more things. I love it when people say, oh my gosh, that's how old you are. You act like, and you can move around like someone 10 years younger than you. Boom. I love that.
Can I add to that the activity thing? And this is a message for guys, because I'm a man. I get how it is. You're a little bit competitive and you're middle age, perhaps. You don't want to be like the old guy. It's great to be in moderately good shape to keep up with other dudes. And here's the great example. The team, they're all real guys. They're about 20 years younger than me. About 20 years younger than me, and I can keep up with those guys because I'm in good shape. Shelby, lightning round. How can people get a hold of us and find out more?
We just looked at the time and went, oh my goodness, I knew this would turn into a great discussion. Look out for us. Come find us on our website. You can find me at agreatstate.com. Come join us. From there, you can launch on to social media. You can see our blog posts, that sort of thing. You can also reach Glenn Tate at his website, 299days.com. And you can look up and see archives of our podcast here, prepping2-o.com. And I will also put in a quick plug, put aside January 12, 2019. For those of you in Oregon, Glenn and I will be at Beaver Creek Armory in Hillsboro from 2 to 5, signing books, doing a book signing, and you will also get to meet the person who was my inspiration for the character of Ash in book 1.
Gotta go, but Sorry, Shelby, it's prepping 2-0.
2-0, not O. Goodness.
2-0. Adios, y'all.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.